Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today's guest is Laura Caruso. She is a dating, relationship, and sex therapist based in New York City. She's also the host of Emotionally Available, which is an upcoming dating and relationship podcast. So she can talk more about that in this conversation. So hi, Laura. Welcome. And how are you doing this morning? Or afternoon, I should say.
I know. I don't even know what time of day it is anymore. It's one of those days. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm so excited. You reached out to me and I love when people do that just because I feel like they're proactive and I always believe the universe aligns people in your pathways for a reason. So I know that you are a dating, relationship, and sex therapist, as I just mentioned. I have done previous episodes about dating and relationships, but I don't know why. Maybe I'm in a spicy mood, but I want to talk about sex. So if you're open to that, I would love to dive into that. But before we get started, who is Laura Caruso? Tell us who you are.
Oh my goodness, what a vague question to answer. I'm a therapist. I specialize in dating, relationships, and sex. We already said that, but I don't know. I'm 27. I live in New York City. I love New York City. I'm one of those crazy millennial dog moms. I don't know. I just like to have fun. And I definitely reached out to you because I love the podcast. I think you have a lot of fun on your episodes. So I wanted to be here and share that.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about your background first. You said you're based in New York. Have you always been based here, or what is your relationship with New York City?
Yeah, so I'm originally from New Jersey. I moved here after grad school and I've been here ever since. Mm-hmm. I moved out of Manhattan into Brooklyn. So that was a big shift, right? The big cross the river to Brooklyn move is pretty serious. But I'm actually heading out to California in the new year and I'm going to spend some time out in LA. So,
oh my God.
Big change from New York City.
Are you planning to do like a year there or a few months?
Unclear. I work remotely, so I'm just kind of going with the flow for now.
I'm here for that. Okay, so tell us, how did you get into the study of therapy? I'm not sure if that's the correct term.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this was actually a career change for me. I was a speech therapist originally. I worked in a special education school for a couple of years, and it just wasn't what I was interested in. It made me really exhausted to go to work every day. I burned out quickly. I just wasn't energized and motivated by it. Whereas mental health, I was already having a lot of these conversations with my friends. And I had roommates at the time, and we were very open about our mental health. I'm one of those cycle breakers, as you call them, in my family. I was the one who was always pushed on the outside because I was confronting a lot of the problems that we were having head on. And when I got in my last relationship, I was miserable during the pandemic because COVID and all the restrictions at the schools, and I just hated my job. And my partner at the time had actually said, you know, why don't you think about psychology? You talk about it all the time. I just feel like it's such a natural fit for you. And I think that was really like the turning point for me, because it was almost like I was receiving permission to go and do this and make this big, drastic life change. Which sounds ridiculous, right? Because I was a 20-something living in New York City and I was fully independent. So I could have made this decision myself, but it just seemed too crazy for me to do that. And so when he had mentioned that, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I found a program at NYU and I finished my master's in mental health counseling. And now I'm a full-time therapist and fully made that career transition.
That is amazing. I always say if I wasn't doing what I am doing, that I would 100% be a sex, not sex, but like a relationship therapist, just because I'm so into it and I look forward to my therapy sessions. Like I get so excited for them instead of dreading them. So it is interesting. But we did talk about sex. So I do want to say, ask, I guess the first question to start off this conversation is, how important is sex in a relationship, in your opinion?
Oh, honestly, this is a very controversial opinion. It's not that important. I think sex is very glorified in our society. I think it's almost like sex is an expectation in a relationship, and partners owe each other sex. Partners don't owe each other shit. Sorry, am I allowed to say that on the
Girl, this is a New York
podcast?
podcast.
Like, partners don't owe each other anything. The only thing that's expected and owed in a relationship is emotional intimacy and emotional connection. The sex is a byproduct of that, right? Think about a relationship where you didn't feel connected to your partner. Maybe there was a lot of anger, resentment, trust issues. You probably had really bad sex, or you had really angry sex, and that's what made it good, right? So it's really finding that fine line of defining what's important in a relationship. And the bottom line is emotional intimacy is number one. Sex is just something that we enjoy as a byproduct of that emotional intimacy.
Absolutely. And I think you enjoy sex, just like you said, when you feel emotionally connected. And when it comes to dating, I've noticed that women obviously get more emotional earlier on and therefore have an attachment or some type of, made up relationship already with the guy they're
Oh,
dating,
yeah.
versus the men, they don't have that emotional connection. So it is so easy for them to just detach, to ghost, to distance themselves. And it's just interesting, but it also goes to show that we are so wired differently. Like the
Oh, yeah.
male and female brain, people don't think about that. I was reading
No.
something that was really funny that, okay, so when you ask your partner or a guy, like, what are you thinking about? Or like, what's wrong? And they say nothing. They literally mean nothing. Like, nothing is
Like
in there.
flat line, absolutely nothing is wrong.
And I'm like, no, seriously, I know something is wrong. And they're like, no, I'm literally thinking about nothing. And I'm like, how can you be thinking about nothing? Because I have a million thoughts in my head from the morning, to the night. So it is interesting, unless you study the actual, brain and the science behind it. So I know that sex changes when you are dating, and then when you are in a relationship, and then further along in a relationship to marriage or whatever the case is. How do couples keep that, spice? I think I'm not in that situation, but I've never lived with a partner, and I'm living with my partner now, and it's a new dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody tells me that. They're like, it's gonna change. So I'm curious to know, what are your tips or outlook on
Yeah, that is definitely a big step. So congrats on that.
that?
That's
Thank
so
you.
exciting. But it is a big change, right? You see a lot more of your partner than you even knew existed, and you learn a lot more about them. The one thing that I have to say about living with a partner is that you don't realize how much hair men have. It's like they shed these little teeny tiny hairs, and where do they come from? I don't know. I don't understand. So if any of you guys are about to move in with a man, beware of those little hairs. They will show up. With that said, though, I mean, every relationship is going to plateau with sex, and you're going to plateau thousands of times. It's not just going to happen once and then you get over that hump and all of a sudden you have the best sex for the rest of your life. It's because it gets boring. If you think about going and taking a walk, right? If you take the same route every single time, you're going to get bored of that. And so if you're having the same sex every single time, it gets boring, which is why that vulnerability piece is so important and that emotional intimacy piece comes back into play, right? Feeling comfortable with enough with your partner to say, let's try something new, right? Let's explore this. Maybe change up the time of day. If you're only having sex at night, have sex in the morning as soon as you wake up, right? Have sex in the middle of the day. Go crazy. Figure out what's something new that we could change to spice it up. But there are also resources to do so. I mean, now there's like card decks and dating things that are out there to help you spice it up without having to actually pull yourself all the way in.
Absolutely. So I know you mentioned the phrase emotional, what, connection or emotional
Intimacy.
intimacy a lot. How do you define that, and how do people build that? There are like no classes on that. I feel like you just either figure it out as you go with life, Or like what, okay, let's break it down. What is emotional intimacy?
Yeah, simply put, emotional intimacy is connection. So if we think about sexual intimacy, right, it's connecting in a sexual way. Emotional intimacy is connecting in an emotional way. And so it's understanding your partner on a deeper level. It's feeling heard, feeling validated, feeling seen. All of those dynamics that play into a healthy relationship. If you are disconnected from your partner, meaning there's a lack of emotional intimacy, there will be things like anger and resentment and sadness, and you'll push away from your partner rather than come towards your partner. So that's kind of what emotional intimacy is. In terms of how do you grow that, I think the relational landscape right now is really starting to change. Social media is taking relationships by storm, and people are having conversations about things like the bare minimum and relationship needs, whereas 5 years ago, nobody was talking about any of that. And in the mental health space, there's so many wheels that are turning right now. I think there was a big push towards mental health during the pandemic because all of a sudden we had to sit with all of our problems and our thoughts, and we had nothing to do to distract us from them other than like TikTok, right? And then TikTok took over mental health too. So there's a lot of moving parts right now that's really driving this mental health push. But that's also then driving relationships to change too, because now people are talking about the bare minimum. Now people are talking about relationship needs to the point that Psychology Today, which is a big kind of umbrella organization in the psych field, put out an article about the rise in single men because women in cishet couples aren't tolerating the bare minimum anymore. We're done. That's it. You need to step up and meet these relational needs because the bare minimum that we are seen for as needy and sensitive, right? That's just foundation of a relationship.
I love that you mentioned that because in my book, I talk about that and how I had to learn what the bare minimum was because I was literally putting men on a pedestal for doing, like you said, the bare minimum,
Nothing.
like sharing my Uber status with them, checking in to make sure I was home. I was like, oh my God, this guy is so caring. And it's like, no, this should be the basic. So I know that we mentioned the term the bare minimum, and I know that another, I guess, controversial topic is, if he, what is, if he could, he would,
Oh yeah.
right? How do you feel about that? Because I've seen both sides saying, obviously, if a guy cares about you or loves you or whatever, he will do X, Y, and Z. But then other people are arguing against that and almost defending and saying like there are other, I guess, layers behind that. So do you think it's as simple as black and white?
No, I think our society is taught to think in a very black and white and binary perspective. Everything occurs on a spectrum. If we've learned anything in this world, it's that it's not just one or the other. And while I do see both sides, we often spend so much time thinking about the other person. What are they doing? What are they thinking? What are they saying? How do they feel? What about us? Right? How do I feel? How do I think? How do I say things about this person? Right? What's happening for me? And so I don't care if they wanted to. If they didn't, they didn't. And that's it. And so then how does that make me feel? What's my experience in like that? In that, am I okay with that? Am I okay with them not doing it? Or am I not okay? Right? Or do I fall somewhere in the middle of that spectrum? We spend so much time worrying about the other person and not ourselves. But then we also have to spin that around, right? How many times did you want to, but didn't? For busy people.
Yes, I love that so much because two things pop up when you said that. One, I feel like in relationships, especially in the dating stages, like you said, we are so worried about does this person like us? But I'm like, hold on, do I even like you? Because honestly, sometimes when I think about it, I don't know, there's so many dynamics. It can be like the chase, it can be the process of dating, it can be the idea of a relationship. But oftentimes when you strip away all of that and you just look at the person, like this happened to me quite a lot of times, and I'm like, I actually don't even fancy you. I don't even know why I'm trying to make this work. And then on the flip side, I learned this through therapy as well. There was a lot of sessions where I talked about noticing red flags in the men I was dating. and obviously the patterns. And then in a session, when we wrapped up, she, you know, my therapist was like, okay, so next session, we'll talk about your red flags. And my mind was blown because,
like, oh shit.
I was like, wait, no, I thought it was a lot of like finger pointing, a lot of like noticing patterns. Why is it bringing back to me? But that was such a monumental moment in my session, a breakthrough session, where I realized, okay, it takes two. It's not always about how the other person has fucked up. Clearly, you know, I have had some type of contribution in that. So I love that. Okay, there are two other components I want to segue to. So when we talk about emotional intimacy, I feel like those that relates to love languages and attachment
styles. Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about the love languages. For those who don't know, there are five, right? It's physical touch, affection, gifts, words of affirmation, and
acts of service.
So do you believe that, well, from my understanding, we need all five. We just have a prioritization, I guess, of top two or top three.
Yep.
And I think that's so healthy to talk about in a relationship, especially earlier on, just so you can be on the same page and understand the other person's, how they receive love. Yep. So do you want to talk a little bit about that? How important is that in a relationship?
Oh my God, it's so important, right? I think, let's use an analogy here. If we're talking about English and Spanish, if you only speak Spanish and I speak to you in English, mm-hmm. you're not going to understand what I'm saying, and vice versa, right? If you only speak acts of service, but I'm trying to give you words of affirmation, you're going to be like, what? Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're trying to say here. And so love languages are how we give and receive love. They typically come from childhood. Not typically, they do come from childhood. They're either how we were taught to show or receive love if we grew up in a very healthy family structure, or they were things that we didn't get within our family structure that we now want, right? Maybe we didn't get any encouragement or affirmation as a kid, and now we want affirmation from our partners because that's how we feel love. So they all come directly from childhood. We give and receive love in very different ways, right? If my love language is words of affirmation, but my partner's is acts of service, I have to give love in terms of acts of service so that it registers for my partners, so that they understand and feel love. And they have to give me words of affirmation so that I understand and receive love, right? We're always trying to speak the other person's language, mm-hmm. but recognize that our language might be different.
I think knowing, you know, the different love languages and your partners obviously is step one, but it is so difficult sometimes because you're so programmed in your way. It's just like changing your way of thinking. You're changing your way of perspective. Yep. And it's almost like sometimes not even in a romantic relationships, it could be anything, right? In a professional relationship, in sibling relationship. Sometimes I always think, why isn't this person doing X, Y, and Z the way that I would? And it's not necessarily that I think my way is the right way. Sometimes I think it's the most like efficient or the most logical. And until I had to let go of that reasoning or thought and think, okay, as long as this person is getting the job done, right, and it's not harmful, then it's not going to, it shouldn't affect me. This is like speaking of something as simple as like living with my partner. So when I cook, I like to do the dishes right away because I hate like a sink filled with dirty dishes. But in his perspective, he doesn't want to do it right away. He's like, I'll do it by the end of the day. And that in the beginning got me so, and not even angry, but I was like annoyed because I'm like, it takes 10 minutes max. And then I realized, okay, it's not harming me. You know, I kind of have to like out of mind, out of sight, just don't look at it.
Walk away from the thing.
But it does get done. And it's kind of like picking your own battles. So it's interesting. But I do think it takes the work, because even if you know somebody's love language, you have to put in the work. You have to practice. You have to train yourself. And another thing I wanted to ask you is that I feel like love languages can change depending on what you receive in your relationships, because my love language in my first relationship is totally different from what it is now. Because I think the first exposure to a relationship is, like you said, it's based off childhood. But then again, the men you date after or the people you date after, they influence your love language depending on what they're giving you. And as people and humans, we change, and our desires, our needs change in relationships. So it's like very important to check in with yourself all the time. So let's talk about attachment styles. Again, this relates to childhood. Surprise, surprise.
Ding, ding, ding. Are we catching a theme here?
Yes. How do you change your attachment style? I think the most healthiest is what? Secure, obviously.
Yes, secure. Secure.
How do we work our way up to a secure attachment style?
You know, I'm going to throw out another controversial opinion here. So many controversial opinions today.
I'm here for it.
I don't think attachment is so important.
Okay.
Right? Like, think about having a cold. What's more important, the fact that you're sneezing all the time or the fact that you have a cold? The cold is not important anymore. You need to treat the symptoms. And so it's the same concept in attachment. If you're anxiously attached and you're checking your partner's location and you're sending them passive aggressive text messages and all of these different behaviors, right? Those are the symptoms. The attachment style doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're anxious. It doesn't matter if you're disorganized. It doesn't matter if you're secure, right? Obviously, if you're secure, you won't have these behaviors. But what's important is treating the behaviors and understanding them, that they're a source of anxiety, right? It doesn't matter if it's a disorganized attachment or avoidant or anxious. They're all sources of anxiety. And they all come down to that same emotion. In order to heal the attachment, right, to become more secure, we have to learn about the underlying origins of these behaviors. What am I getting out of checking my partner's location 100 times? What am I getting out of calling them 100 times? What am I getting out of shutting the door and putting space and stonewalling or completely ignoring them? Another word for stonewalling, completely ignoring them for 4 hours, right? What am I getting out of that? Am I feeling safe? Because we're probably not actually feeling safe. It's just a compensatory mechanism that we learned to protect ourselves. And so we have to work on those behaviors to feel more securely attached and confident and comfortable in our relationships.
Absolutely. And you mentioned symptoms, and I see that as almost like a synonym for triggers, because I used to avoid triggers. Like it was uncomfortable, and they're supposed to be uncomfortable. And so I realized triggers are like your best friends in relationships. These are the areas that show you what you need to work on, what is still bugging you that you haven't confronted. And now whenever I feel triggered, it's like what you said, go back to the reason why, not just I am feeling angry or this, you know, pissed me off, but it's why. And oftentimes, whatever the action is, isn't the problem. There's a deeper reasoning behind it. And it all goes to the power of therapy.
I love that you keep saying why, right? When I sit in sessions with clients, they'll tell me, okay, I feel this. Why? Because this. Why? And I keep sitting there. And the only thing I will say is why? Because the purpose is to dig deeper. Right? We always want to stay here because this is more comfortable. We have to go deeper to really understand it, to create change.
But it's funny you mentioned that, because I feel like throughout my 2 years of therapy now, I've been so self-aware and almost self-diagnosing myself that I would tell my therapist in a session almost before she comments, I'll tell her how I'm feeling, why I'm feeling, and then I'll do the digging and say like, well, I think if this leads to like my father or my mom. And then she also mentioned sometimes it's not also about that either. I forgot she quoted some psychologist, but she was like, sometimes the issue is just the issue. And she said, I admire you going deep, but now you're almost like pushing it. So therapy is just so interesting. I feel like there are so many layers of it. It can work. I don't want to say against you, but you can be so addicted to therapy and self-growth and self-development that it can be a little unhealthy. So that's a whole other topic that I don't not want to dive into. I want to talk more about you as a relationship therapist. How do you think that affects you dating? Well, are you in a relationship?
So when I first reached out to you, I was in a relationship. My relationship has since ended. Okay. It was actually talking about emotional availability, another hot topic. I finally had the strength to walk away from something that just wasn't serving me anymore. And I was ready to continue growing, and my partner was not. And so I then had to make the decision, okay, I'm going to go off and do this on my own. But it was hard being a relationship therapist in a relationship. I'm very grateful for that relationship because he held a lot of space for me to heal. Talking about attachment again, I was a very anxiously attached person when I first met him. I went through an abusive relationship years ago, and so I never really healed from that. And I had a lot of trust issues from that. And I thought I healed, right? I thought I was great and ready for a new relationship because it was years later. Turns out I wasn't. There was still a lot that was hurting me, and I wasn't even aware of it. And so he encouraged me to go back to therapy. He encouraged me to become a therapist, right? That relationship served so much purpose in my life that I'm so grateful for it. But I was ready to keep growing because now as a therapist, I almost know too much, right? I know that I have behaviors that are holding me back. And I know that that relationship was starting to hold me back. And so I had to then take a look at myself and really face the fact that I deserved more. I deserved a partner who was willing to do the work with me, who was willing to enter a partnership, not just a relationship, right? A partnership is very different because we're working together. We're on the same team. We're learning about each other's triggers. We're consciously trying to do that work together and not individually. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now with my relationship status and my job as a relationship therapist.
Thanks for opening up about that. What do you think is the biggest challenge then being a relationship therapist and going into dating? And do you disclose that or do you kind of observe and see where it takes you?
Well, I'm in no mood to date right now. So we're definitely waiting that one out. I'll get back to you when I do start dating because I haven't actually dated as a therapist yet. Because I became a therapist in my last relationship. Yeah, but it is something that I've given thought to in this last week, especially when I am ready to date, right? Like the first questions on a date are, what do you do for work? Oh, what led you to that career path? Like, what am I going to say? Oh, I'm a therapist and I went through an abusive relationship and my last boyfriend encouraged me to become a therapist. No, a I'm not going to say that on the first date. So yeah, there's a lot to unpack there to figure out like what really led me to that journey and how can I share that with someone in a way that makes all of us feel comfortable, right? And not like completely trauma dumping on the first date.
Totally. Yeah, we will revisit this because I have a friend. He was on my podcast. He is a relationship coach. He's a male, obviously. And he told me when he dates, he does disclose that because, you know, he's not ashamed of it. But by saying the term relationship coach, it automatically shifts the energy of the relationship and the women feel like they need to be on their best behavior. So again, that's another interesting field to tap into.
So oh my God, I want to talk to him now. I will connect you with him.
He's amazing. Yeah, Imad is amazing. So we are somewhat wrapping up and my podcast is called The City Confessions. I know you listened to previous episodes. You probably already know what's coming. But Laura, I would love if you can share with me and my listeners a city confession. I know we talk a lot about relationships, therapy, about you, about the field of psychology, but this can be however you receive the question. So if you can share a confession with all of us, what would it be?
Oh, my big New York City confession is that when you move to the city, you go through a hope phase. Sorry, it happens. Everyone does it.
I thought you said whole, like I'm like, okay, what phase?
A whole phase. We all date. We all serial date. I mean, when I first moved to the city, I was going on like 1 to 2 dates a week. So now I'm a relationship therapist. And that's really, if that doesn't bring it full circle, I don't know what does. But that's my confession. So if you guys are serial dating out there, it's okay.
You need to get it out of your system.
You do.
I look back and I, you know, again, I write about this in my book, but I'm like, I have the best time being.
I learned so much about myself. I had so many cool experiences. I met so many awesome people. I actually went on a date once with a guy and the first date I knew we did not click. And I said that. And the fact that I even said this on a date, I was like, you know, I really like you and I really want to be friends with you and hang out with you, but I don't feel that connection. And we still talk today, right? We're still friends. So there's just so much you can get out of experiencing the city. And if you don't have a lot of friends here yet, go on dates. Go crazy.
Absolutely.
You'll have a lot of
cool. And I feel like the best part is that they do not know you. And it's not about not being your authentic self, But again, we have a million sides to ourselves, a million
Oh, yeah.
versions to ourselves. So tap into the sassy one, right? Or your alter ego or whatever the case is, and just have fun. And I look back
Exactly.
too and I'm like, yes, I lived a good life.
It was fun. It was
Whatever I
definitely
did.
fun.
I am so here for it. Okay, before we wrap up, I do a quick New York fire round of questions. I will ask you five questions and you can answer with the first word or phrase that comes to your mind. Are you
Ooh,
ready?
I'm
Okay,
sweating. Okay.
if you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Crazy.
Best part about New York.
Oh,
Least
food.
favorite part.
Forest.
What is your go-to spot?
Other half in Domino Park, outdoor brewery. Love it.
And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Allowing me to find myself and giving me space to do so.
I love that. And I think this is such a beautiful way to wrap up not only this episode, but maybe your temporary chapter in New York since you are going to LA in the new year.
Yes.
So it's sad to see another New York go, but I'm sure you'll come
Oh, you're making me
back.
cry.
No, I'm sure you'll come back because the city just has, there's no place like New York. It's so cliche,
No.
but it is so true. And right now it is your time to plug away. I'll have all of your information in the show notes if you're watching or listening, but where can people find you and let us know if you're working on any secret projects or anything for 2023?
Yeah, so my Instagram and TikTok are at laurakrusso.therapy. I'm starting a podcast. It launches
Yes.
December 5th. I had a very different vision for this podcast because I was in a relationship when I planned it, and now we completely flipped the table upside down, and I am single. This podcast is called Emotionally Available. It's at Emotionally Available on Instagram, and we're going to get crazy about that down and dirty hoe phase and how I
Yes.
became the person that I am today.
Are you doing interviews or is it going to be solo episodes?
The first episode is actually going to be with my best friend who lived through my hoe phase as my roommate. So that's going to be quite the experience. After that, we're going to do a lot of interviews with people who are actively dating in New York City. We're going to do some interviews with therapists, and really
Fun.
bring out those taboo topics in the dating and relationship space.
Yes, I'm here for it. Okay, so last question. I know I keep lying and say I have one more question, but I always want to end on a high note. So, Laura, what is your superpower?
Ooh, this is a hard question. My superpower, I have to say the amount of love that I have to give, but it's a superpower and kryptonite at the same time, right? Because it hurts like hell when you give too much love and it's not either accepted or it's not given back. But I do believe that my capacity to love other people, other things has really transformed my life. And it's what encourages me to keep moving forward in this breakup and find my person someday because I do have such a big capacity to love.
Oh, that was so beautiful. I'm gonna just end it
Okay,
there
I
because
want to go hug my dog
I
now.
know there's nothing I can say besides that. So thank you so much, Laura. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come record with me. For those listening and watching, thank you. I appreciate you. I'm sure Laura appreciates you.
Yeah.
Feel free to share this episode with a friend and leave a review if you feel called to. And I will see you all in next week's episode. All right, bye.